It's time for Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Have you ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Every week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. Guests will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Every show is a dose of inspiration. This is Success Profiles Radio. And now, here's your host, Brian K. Wright.
Hello and welcome to Success Profiles Radio. I'm your host, Brian K. Wright, and it's an absolute pleasure to be with you here today. I'm honored that you chose to spend part of your day with me here, and this is going to be a really great show. I'll be introducing my guest momentarily, and I promise we're going to learn a lot today. I usually like to take a minute or two to share some things I've been learning and thinking about lately, and I usually do this every single week. Sometimes we are tempted to give up, especially when there's no apparent solution in sight. Nothing you try seems to work. Things seem to be getting worse rather than better. Do you give up or do you find another way? If you're a Star Trek fan, you already know that Captain Kirk was the only Starfleet cadet to beat the unwinnable Kobayashi Maru scenario. When asked how he did it, he calmly said, "I changed the conditions of the test." He didn't picture giving up as an option. He simply found a way to rearrange the circumstances that made winning possible. So how can you rearrange the conditions of your unwinnable situation? Here's some things you can do. Make a different offer. Make that offer to a different audience. Stop asking broke people for money. Stop asking for loyalty from someone who's only interested in taking from you. I have done all of these, and thankfully, I don't do them nearly as often as I used to. But hopefully the point is clear. Find your way to win. It's out there. And if you are committed to finding it, you will. I promise. And if you have not downloaded and subscribed to Success Profiles Radio on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, please do so. Leave a five-star review if you think it's worth it. We've had a lot of people leave reviews, and I'm so happy and grateful for anyone that does that for us. My guest this week is Kyla Fittick. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She's the principal and founder of Sasu Consulting, a financial consulting firm that specializes in accounting and financial management. Her company has helped clients raise over $25 million in debt and equity in the past 2 years of business. Her expertise lies in taking charge of and nurturing accounting and finance teams, partnering with business proprietors to address intricate business challenges, overseeing project execution, and managing transitions effectively. We have so much to unwrap and unravel today. So here we are with my very special guest, Kyla Fittick. Kyla, welcome. How are you today?
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm doing really well.
Oh, wonderful. So the question I usually start with is, did you envision early on that you would be where you are right now?
I would have to say I did. About 15 years ago, I did see where I would be now. I was working for a private company in accounting and finance, but I knew I wanted to serve like multiple clients and get into consulting. At the time, I didn't really know what the right first step would be, but through my career progression, it started to naturally unfold, and I started my business just over 3 years ago now. And yes, I did remember having that vision 15 years ago. So it's great to be in this place now.
Do you remember your first client?
I do. Yes, I do.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. So with my first client, I think as like probably most new business owners can appreciate, like I was just looking for clients. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot in that client. It was, in the logistics industry and shipping like internationally in that. And it was a startup. So it was a huge project to coordinate like their operations and accounting and implement like oversee and suggestions for new systems. Mm-hmm. But as I've, you know, grown my business, I am more like, I've become a bit more selective in terms of the clientele that I work with. Mm-hmm. So that's just one thing like I've observed, you know, as I'm sure most business owners can attest to, like when you're first starting out and working with almost any client you can get. And whereas mm-hmm. now I have like a specific clientele that I like to work with, but mm-hmm. definitely my first clients, I learned a lot and it's mm-hmm. helped me shape like where I am now 3 years down the road.
Right. When you get your first client, you're just happy that someone said yes and is willing to pay you. And you're not always sure what that client base is going to look like. But the more clients you get, the more you really decide, I really prefer working with these people versus those people, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Wonderful. So tell us what you believe your big mission is right now in your business.
Yeah, my big mission right now is to help owners and executives feel like look good and attract investment and help them feel empowered about financial data and that they're using it effectively.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So what would you consider to be your rock bottom moment in business? Where was that moment where you had to draw the line and say, I'm not putting up with this anymore?
Yeah, I think it's going back to some of my original clients. Mm-hmm. I had to, like, as a business owner, set boundaries. And I know sometimes that's the thing, right? When you think, oh, I'm going to start my own business, mm-hmm. that, you know, there is some freedom in that. Mm-hmm. But then in a way too, like your clients are your bosses. Mm-hmm. But I've established like more of a framework in that sense. And I've learned through practice over the last few years. But I would say that what is to me kind of felt like my rock bottom when I thought I was going to maybe get more freedom from having mm-hmm. my own business. Mm-hmm. But then I sort of realized that I had attracted some clients that had expectations for me and would be contact me like at all hours of the day sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when I was teaching, I'm a morning person. And so I would teach from 8 a.m. until, oh gosh, I think my classes ended at 2:00 and I met my classes 4 days a week. And I knew that I was not a night person. So I told my students right off the top, you may not call me after 9 p.m. Anything I say to you, anything I promise to you, I will not honor because I will be too tired to remember it.
Yeah.
And they were usually pretty good about that. I don't think I only had one student really violate that expectation, but setting expectations up front is super, super important. I get that. Sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess another like aspect of this role in finance too would be like working with clients when they are in like very stressful financial situations. And mm-hmm. I know for me personally, like I care a lot about my clients, so mm-hmm. I take that on myself a bit. And again, I'm learning to have a bit more boundaries around that. But definitely like helping people navigate some of those stressful times, like that can right. just be, you know, stressful for all parties, but that's just mm-hmm. part of my role. And I'm used to that. Like, and that is mm-hmm. one of my specialties.
Yeah. And I think setting expectations for what constitutes an emergency is important because if you're having an existential crisis, like the government is about ready to do something to your business, that's an existential crisis. I need to talk to you now. I would be much more willing to talk to someone rather than someone who just had a basic question that really could have waited until the next day.
Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So why did you decide to be a consultant? You mentioned time freedom.
Yeah, time freedom. And I think I feel like there is a message I'm supposed to spread.
Mm-hmm.
So I've started to get more active in terms of articles, and I'm going to be going on a speaking tour.
Mm.
And I'm actually shifting my business focus a little bit through a rebrand in the near future. Like I have been traditionally a fractional CFO,
mm-hmm.
But I'm shifting to be positioned more as a like a business advisor or business coach with expertise in finance, leadership, and strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And because right now, like me and my team, we will take on, you know, for certain organizations, up to their entire finance department, like if we're providing fractional CFO and outsourced accounting. Mm-hmm. So what I've learned just through my time being in business and just with my level of expertise that I'm at the position where I want to be more of a thought leader and mm-hmm. work with business owners and executives to advise them or coach them on how they should be setting up their financial teams
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily like doing that all myself with me and my team.
Right.
So moving into more of that thought leadership perspective and offering like online courses and that. So I still plan on maintaining my current clients, but I see in terms of scaling the business, because as a fractional CFO, really, it's just, you know, kind of time for money. So I see like a bigger vision and want to have a bigger impact. And I think that would.
And I would imagine there's a limit as to how many clients you can take if you're just doing CFO work, even if you have a team helping out. How many hours a week does a client expect from you? Five, 10?
About 10 hours from me. Usually some five, but like most of my clients are like scaling. So about 10 hours.
There's only a handful of people you can even work with at a time. I understand why you're going to the consulting role. That's actually really smart. And you reach a point in your business where you're growing and you think, okay, there's not enough of me to go around anymore. Was that where you were?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's correct. And because, you know, we could like hire, and we do have like, we have controllership roles that on my team and other accounting. And we could grow the and attract other fractional CFOs. But I feel like, you know, going back to that time freedom, I feel like the advisory and speaking tour and online courses is just more accessible and kind of aligns with my values of that time freedom, but still making an impact in this industry.
Okay, we've got less than a minute to our first break. What do you think is the highest value skill anyone can develop?
I would say, get financial fluency, especially for, business executives to be able to make confident decisions.
That's amazing. I've never heard it expressed like that before. Financial fluency, it's like a language, and that's great. I love that. We are coming up against our first break. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest is Kyla Fittick, and we are talking about CFO, financial management, and all the things that her business can help your business with. And we'll talk about some of those when we come back.
The mission is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
It's words you never heard. According to a recent story by BBC, a person's sleep position can tell a lot about their personality. About 40% of people sleep in the fetal position. Sleeping this way suggests a sensitive person. Those who assume the log position at bedtime lie on their side with their arms down. People who sleep this way tend to be sociable and trusting. The yearner lays on their side with both arms in front of them. These people are careful and take their time to make decisions. Sleeping on your stomach with your head to one side is known as the free fall. People who sleep like this may have difficulty accepting criticism. But whatever your sleep position, the goal is to avoid clinomania. That's the excessive desire to stay in bed in the morning.
It's merging neighborhood.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we are back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Kyla Fittick, and we are talking about outsourcing your financial functions in your business through CFO, through accounting, financial consulting, and I can't wait to explore this a little bit further. So tell us about hiring fractional executives and hiring fractional financial officers. Why do this? Why do people do this?
Yeah, so people are wanting to hire fractional CFOs or fractional executives to bring in high-level financial expertise at a fraction of the cost of a full-time mm-hmm. CFO. So some companies, you know, if they're at the startup stage or shortly thereafter, they may not be able to afford a full-time CFO, and they may not even really require like a full-time CFO, but they do still want that high-level financial expertise. So it offers flexibility and can scale as well. So that's what we offer, like our clients, is that our services can be flexible to, mm-hmm. you know, scale up and down as required. And then also if they get to a point where they do need a full-time CFO, like we can, you know, transition to that.
Yeah. So as a business is getting started and growing, when is the ideal time to start considering this?
Yeah. So I'd say, like, usually for our clients, we, for clients that are making over like $500,000 annually and they've been in business for 2 years, is usually when we would start working with them, or potentially sooner, depending on the complexity of the, like, the business model and like organization they would require, mm-hmm. As well as if they're seeking funding. So that's another aspect that we like work with clients on, is if they're going for different capital mm-hmm. raises, we will help them with pitch decks. Mm-hmm. But usually, like, that's why we would say if they have some financials for our team to feed into the presentations.
Great. So tell us about your business, SASU Consulting. That's SASU.
Yes. So SASU, that stands for Steering Ambition, Surpassing Uncertainty. And right now, like, we're working with our clients in different industries. And that's another thing about fractional CFOs, is that usually fractional CFOs have expertise in different industries, so they can offer like innovative recommendations and solutions. We work with our clients to scale and grow. Usually they're going through some form of transition or scaling, and they have the intention to like acquire additional businesses or become acquired themselves. So we help mm-hmm. them go through like the due diligence process involved for both of those scenarios, as well as ensure that their financials are prepared like accordingly to make that like a seamless mm-hmm. process.
Yeah. That's great. So what are the core services that you provide for your clients?
Cash flow management, financial reporting and analysis. So for most of our clients, we have a monthly management report that will circulate. Mm-hmm. For some of our clients, that's fairly straightforward and might just be like their, you know, balance sheet, income statement, cash flow statement. Mm-hmm. But for some of our other clients, we work with them to build like a more comprehensive management report, which includes like some operational data and key performance indicators. Mm-hmm. And that's where we find like we can drive a lot of that value, and mm-hmm. we can see how the financial data can inform like decisions in the organization, or allow like the executive team to be aware of different aspects that should be priority focus. Mm-hmm. So that's what we usually recommend for our clients, is to focus on the management report. And that's something that we provide to the clients And we also look at opportunities for cost control and efficiency, helping with budget and forecast preparation. Mm-hmm. So annual budget preparation and then updating the forecast and cash flow as the year tracks along.
That's great. I know a lot of high-level organizations have a set of core values that guide how they do business and how they interact with customers. What are your top core values in your business?
Yeah, our top core values are teamwork, respect, continuous growth, and evolution.
Oh, wow. I love that evolution. How have you applied evolution in the growth of your business? That's interesting to me. I've never heard anyone say evolution as one of their core values before.
Yeah. So I think we don't really like to feel like we're in a box. And so we're taking through all the learnings from our clients and from our own personal growth, and we're like seeing how the business and our lives are constantly evolving and applying that. So I see that core value as being reflected even in, like I was mentioning earlier, about our rebrand and how we are seeing like how we can best align with what is in demand or maybe needed in the marketplace and how we can evolve and meet that based on our skill set.
Yeah, I like that. So what are the biggest challenges that your clients are facing right now, in your opinion?
Yeah, I would say like cash flow management would be one of them. So especially for some of our clients that have seasonal businesses, we try to work with them on planning for like some of those peaks and valleys so that there's no surprises.
Yeah.
And also we're finding as well, like we're working with companies on like even a bit of a shift sometimes into how like companies should care about their employees' finances because that can impact like employees' focus and performance, because I know like finance can be is stressful for like a lot of people right now. So we've been working with some of our clients, because we usually coordinate any like 401k or in Canada like RSP programs and like benefits programs, and working with some of those providers as well as ourselves. Like I recently wrote an article about like why employers should care about their employees' finances and how that, and how like it is becoming a bit more on trend, especially now for like some of the larger organizations in the US and Canada to start implementing some programs. But like, you know, it's forecasted we'll see a lot more of that in terms of other businesses offering that.
Nice. I like that. So before you start working with clients, do they find you or do you find them?
Up until now, they've found me. Yeah.
Good. Good. How are they doing that? Are they finding your website, or do you go to networking events or conferences?
Yeah, they're usually finding my website or coming through referral from one of my current clients.
Referrals are very powerful.
Yes. Yeah. So I've been thankful for that I haven't, up until this point, had to do like a lot that much outreach, but I do plan to, like now with our rebrand, I plan to attend and speak at business conferences and like start doing more of the articles and that.
Yeah, for sure. So when a new client starts working with you, do they always know they need help, or is the type of help they think they need actually not what they need?
Yeah, sometimes they don't always know they need help. So we usually do, and sometimes, yeah, it can be like, 50-50 sometimes. And we'll do like a financial health assessment, like when we first start onboarding a client. and share like observations and where we see like the key priorities and areas for focus should be. But we do prefer like working with clients that are, you know, some like somewhat aware of the need that they have, because then that means that like they're like more receptive, obviously, to like some of the suggestions. Whereas if, you know, we have clients that don't feel like there are priority items to work on, then it can be a bit more challenging to move forward.
Absolutely. We've got about 2 minutes till our next break. Let's talk about HR management. I was on your site and I noticed this is one of the things that you provide. So you help clients with their hiring and firing too, right?
Yeah, to a certain extent, more the onboarding, hiring and firing. We don't really do any of the recruitment of that.
Right.
But yes, we do offer that type of service, because sometimes as well, like in a smaller company, where there's just like fractional services required, like that's usually something that's fallen under the CFO, and they might not have like a full-time HR person. So the company might have like a recruitment firm they're working with, but then also like we would assist with some of that other HR.
Yeah. So why is it important to allow a third party perspective in the hiring process?
Yeah, well, that's more the recruitment firm that would be involved in that. We're not actually doing the hiring, firing, but yeah, definitely from the third party perspective. So I can, I guess, give my personal opinion on that.
Sure.
But it's not something that we're like specifically doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds great. We are coming up against our next break. My very special guest this week is Kyla Fittick, and we're talking about fractional executives. We're talking about CFO. We're talking about cash flow management and a lot of things. And when we come back, we'll talk about how she helps companies grow, and we can talk about streamlining and consolidating. We can talk about operations assessment. We can talk about growth strategies, raising money, and so much more. We will come right back after the break. This is Success Profiles Radio. Please stay with us. Don't go away. We will be right back on the other side. Be right back.
Mission is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away, because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com.
If you are in business, what is the number one thing that stops revenue growth? Not having enough leads. Data is the new gold rush. With phone sites, that is never an issue. You can generate as many leads as you want without paying a lead broker. With phone sites, you can build a website or sales funnel from your mobile device in 5 minutes or less without any technical skills or without downloading an app. It's easy and you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 14 days at phonesites.com/Brian. Once again, that's phonesites.com/Brian.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we are back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Kyla Fittick. And we are talking about fractional CFOs. We're talking about all things relating to the financial stuff that maybe you aren't in a position to hire full time, but can hire on a part-time basis. And this can be a very, very valuable service. And if you have not subscribed to Ultimate Achievers Magazine, you can do that by going to ultimateachieversmagazine.com. You can pick your subscription page or option at the bottom of the page, and I'd be very happy to have you as a subscriber. You can read every single issue we've done going all the way back to December 2017. So we've been doing this for a very long time. So Kyla, let's talk next about another function that you help people with in your company with clients, and that is consulting people about their insurance coverages. You are not an insurance broker, but you have relationships to where you can help people figure out what insurance coverages might be best for them going forward, correct?
That's correct. Yes. So based on like the different industries that we've worked in, and as CFO, like usually insurance is like an oversight, being the main like risk person in an organization. Mm-hmm. We'll work with insurance brokers and businesses to like confirm and obtain like the appropriate insurance based on their operations.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I also imagine that you help clients find opportunities for growth, such as if there are assets that they are not fully monetizing, or you are seeing missed opportunities or money being left on the table, you help your client companies figure out what those are and figure out strategies to utilize those assets more effectively, right?
That's correct. Yeah. So, because we find that sometimes like companies are looking at like their holistic or consolidated financials. So they're not always looking at which assets are producing and providing the most income or the best like margins for their business. Mm-hmm. So as if they don't already have like that capability set up in their financial reporting, we will set that up so that like owners and executives are better informed to understand like where their profits are coming from, like from which assets specifically or from which products. Because with some clients we've worked with, they've decided, we've identified like they need to start utilizing certain assets, they're being underutilized, or they need to discontinue like a certain product line because they've seen that it's not like has any contribution margin to their business.
Yeah, for sure. And I would imagine on the flip side, if there are things that maybe don't quite belong anymore, you streamline, you help companies streamline and consolidate to make things more efficient, correct?
Yes, exactly. Yes. So we do that assessment. And see like which assets or which products are contributing or like what are not contributing. Mm-hmm. And especially if the company has, you know, goals or targets to increase like profitability, which we work with them in setting, then we would look at like the plan, like to get to that target, mm-hmm. which would, you know, like you pointed out, if they're like potentially sometimes removing certain products or assets from the mix.
Yeah, for sure. So as you onboard a client, how do you assess where the opportunities are? Do you have them fill out an assessment, or do you have a field day to just go through everything? How do you figure out what a client really needs once you are on board with them?
Well, usually, like going back to what we were just speaking about, to do mm-hmm. that full financial assessment, mm-hmm. usually it's doing like a deep dive of their financial system or their like inventory system, any ERP system they may have, so that we can assess like the return on assets and the contribution margins from each of the product lines. Mm-hmm. So, but we find that not all clients like have that. So sometimes we're actually working with them to get that set up, and mm-hmm. then we can actually better assess it and inform them. Yeah. So sometimes when we work with clients, there's not always catch-up work to do. Like sometimes there might be if they hadn't had, say, like a CFO or controller in place, there might be a bit of catch-up work. Mm-hmm. But then also if they haven't scaled their financials as their business has grown, they may not have that data for us to just come in and assess. So we have to actually do a deep dive in some of their systems so that we can prepare that, like for the at least like the prior couple quarters or year, and then present.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you help clients raise money too. You over the course of your time, you've helped raise over $25 million for your clients. Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
Great. Is that debt? Is that equity? Is it both?
It's both. Yes. Great. So yeah.
How do we know if debt financing or selling equity is the better plan of the two?
Yeah. So I know like for the equity, like, you know, giving up some control or like having some other voice involved in the business is like one of those factors that influences sometimes that decision. Mm-hmm. However, like sometimes for like software companies, they don't necessarily always have a choice because like debt can be quite difficult to obtain unless they have like strong financials themselves or like a guarantor, since there's like limited assets with the startup. Mm-hmm. So that's really sort of the discussion that we sometimes advise clients on. And usually they already have like maybe a little bit of an idea, like they might do if they are a startup, like a friends and family round. And then we help them like do a Series A. But usually debt is one that some of our clients that have been more established are getting, and they have like stronger balance sheets.
Sure. So as you prepare clients for funding, what criteria do you need to see in order for a client to qualify or have the best chance of qualifying? Your ducks have to be in a row. So what does that look like?
Yeah. So usually that would be like the strong financials that are like up to date financial statements, and then also like a 12-month forecast for the next year. And then also their like pipeline, depending on which like industry they're in, like pipeline or forecasted production levels. Mm-hmm. Which sort of ties into the 12-month forecast. And those would really be like the main criteria to consider for like how we would build our like presentation and the initial components of the data room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would imagine too that if this is a business that's established for a while, they look for trends. Are you trending up or trending down? I mean, because no one wants to loan money to someone on a sinking ship, right? They want to see evidence of growth and ascension. Does that make sense?
Yep. So yeah, so trends, like if there's the KPIs, so if the client has that available, or we will help them get that package together. We would usually put that together as part of the package if they have been in business for like a number of years, like what the trends have been, if they're going up or if they're going down. Mm-hmm. And then if it is going down, then that can be like more of a challenge sometimes. Mm-hmm. So then we have to work with the client on the story or like what the repositioning is in terms of like what that ask is really being, what those funds will be used for.
Sure. How can we know if buying a business is a good growth strategy? Because a lot of companies like to talk about expansion and they think that buying an existing business is a lot better than starting something new from scratch. And that is true. There are advantages to that. But how do you know if someone's ready to buy a business?
Well, yeah, definitely if they're in the financial position to be able to do so. Mm-hmm. And if they want to, like, I know a lot of the businesses are required to show like the higher top line growth, mm-hmm. but there is a lot of like due diligence required to go through in terms of like verifying like that company's financials and the team that's coming on board, like what synchronicities are there between like your company and the one you're looking to acquire. And obviously the more the better, because then there could be like cost efficiencies and savings.
Yeah.
But in terms of like longer term growth, if there are those cost efficiencies and it's, you're confident that that top line will stay there in turn after the acquisition, then it can definitely attract like more investment and attention going forward.
Yeah, for sure. So we got a couple minutes until our final break. I can't believe how quickly this is going. When should a company consider selling their business? I mean, what are the circumstances that you see most often when you have a client who might say, I'm ready to sell. Can you help me with this?
Yeah, so we haven't really been like, you know, we've been in business for 3 years. So we personally haven't been involved in a company that's sold. We've been involved with companies that are wanting to be acquired. So we have right now, actually, we're going through that process of due diligence. So we may be able to say that, but in the near future. So really, making sure that they can tell that story so they can show that, be able to describe like cost efficiencies that another party, if they were to obtain them, would be able to save on, making sure all their financials and all their like pipeline or production is clearly documented and able to be reported on, because that just will cut the timeline down for savings. So really, just making sure that there's like data accessible really helps to make it a easy process.
Fantastic. We're coming up against our final break and we will come right back after this. This is Success Profiles Radio.
The mission is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
If you are in business, what is the number one thing that stops revenue growth? Not having enough leads. Data is the new gold rush. With PhoneSites, that is never an issue. You can generate as many leads as you want without paying a lead broker. With PhoneSites, you can build a website or sales funnel from your mobile device in 5 minutes or less without any technical skills or without downloading an app. It's easy and you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 14 days at PhoneSites.com/Brian. Once again, that's PhoneSites.com/Brian.
Well, skunks are making the news again. Seems everyone has a skunk story. A friend of mine was dozing on the couch on her patio when she felt something furry brush up against her hand. She thought it was her cat until she smelled a terrible odor. I was petting a skunk, she told me. What's a word for shocked? Timey-wimey. In Colorado, a wildlife officer was called to help a skunk whose head was stuck in a peanut butter jar. After tugging for 10 minutes, they finally freed the critter and it ran away without spraying anyone. Guess that was a fair trade, otherwise known as quitter for quatter. In Minnesota, it's illegal to tease a skunk. What's the word for teasing a skunk? Tan-tan tanning, wart-wardling, and downright foolish.
It's Marching Neighborhood.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we're back. This is Success Profiles Radio. Down the stretch we come. And my very special guest this week is Kyla Fittick. And we'll get back to her in just a second. But if you've been listening to some of the commercials, you know that I help people write their books. And if that's a dream of yours, if that's something that's been on your list of things to do someday, why are you waiting? The longer that someone has to wait for you, the longer they don't get a solution to their problem. So if you've ever thought about writing a book, go to callwithbrian.com. That's B-R-I-A-N, callwithbrian.com. Set up a time to talk to me. I'd be happy to do that with you anytime. So Kyla, let's talk about the biggest mistakes that you see people making in their businesses as it affects their financial fortune.
Yeah, I would say right now is like not investing in their team or like in technology. So I know right now there are a lot of technology solutions out there for businesses and it can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. However, like choosing the right solution can make operations much more effective. Mm-hmm. So that is one thing that we notice with clients is that the technology systems can have an impact on like just operational efficiency and data reporting, and it can end up hindering like strategic decision making.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us about your favorite client case study, the one where you feel like you had the most impact.
There's a few. Well, tying to what we were just sort of talking about, one of our clients, a mid-sized technology company, they were struggling with stagnant growth and operational inefficiencies. And, you know, their financial and operating systems were outdated. They lacked clear financial visibility and it was hindering strategic decision-making. Mm-hmm. So as their fractional CFO, I initiated a comprehensive review of their financial processes and systems, and our team, we implemented a modern financial management system that automated many of the manual processes. Mm-hmm. And then we also introduced budgeting and forecasting practices, as well as like KPI reporting for their operations. Mm-hmm. So there was a better resource allocation and better financial and operational planning. So within 6 months, the company saw like 25% improvement in operational efficiency and significantly reduced their admin overhead. And they had like an admin person that had been at times supporting like the sales team, and they were able to step in part-time and work with the sales team and help support and drive sales instead. And so the company improved financial visibility and forecasting, and the leadership team was able to make more informed strategic decisions. And the company ended up increasing their profitability by 15% because we did have more accurate data and KPI reporting to be able to focus on areas that was, you know, had higher contribution margins and then make decisions on like software to discontinue.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds fantastic. So I would imagine during the course of your consulting, you occasionally meet with clients who seem to want to resist your suggestions. They want to keep doing things the way they've been doing it. How do you handle that?
I usually start to turn very persuasive.
Yeah.
Because as well, from my perspective, I want to work with clients that are receptive to our recommendations.
Yep.
So I feel like, to me, like, I like challenges. I'm a problem solver. Mm. So I just sort of see it as another potential challenge or problem to solve. So I usually just turn on my like persuasion tactics. And because I usually am attending like the executive leadership team meetings, I am aware of like other priorities, because I would say if I wasn't, I might not have a full scope of what the owner or executive was also dealing with at the time and why it might not be a priority. But I feel with my clients, I have a good sense of that and what the other competing objectives are. So I usually just try to deliver my message maybe differently, and see if it's more receptive that way. And, yeah. And so far, like, I've had success in doing that, but it doesn't always get like, it's not always received the first time. So I just, not a pest, but I just sort of like think about how to reframe that so that it can be perceived as like a priority and what the improvements will be.
Yeah, for sure. So what if someone is considering a career in this field? Maybe somebody's wanting to get into the financial world, or maybe somebody who's in a company but wants to venture into private consulting. What advice would you give to someone who wants to do what you're doing?
Yeah, I would say, especially if, people that have a background in finance accounting, and I know like fractional work is growing, like there's definitely an increasing demand for it and there's more awareness of it. And then there's also people that are starting to transition into that field as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like being involved in like a peer network of other fractional consultants is good. And I know there's some fractional consulting coaches that are out there. Like I don't personally work with one, but I had in the past, like being aware with them and they're advising fractional consultants on like how to best, you know, package and price their services and what clients are looking for. So especially for someone that's new in that field.
There is some
really good resources out there.
Absolutely. So what has surprised you the most about your journey?
I think how much I love like finance surprised me. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Just that I wanted to stick with this. I didn't know that it would be like my ongoing like career. I know like people switch different career paths, but yeah, it's definitely like a passion of mine, and helping people feel confident about their finances and improving financial literacy and financial fluency.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Gratitude is something that comes up a lot on this show. How important has that been for you?
Gratitude for me?
Things
I'm grateful for are like, all of my clients. Like I've learned so much in working with them, and for my staff as well. So I do have a team like locally and then other staff that are across Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But like a lot of us actually had worked together in the past. So I'm really grateful that our paths had like recrossed again and we're working together again. And I'm just also grateful for like the opportunities that continue to come up and just like the signals that I get to, you know, keep on this financial leadership journey, but just shift things a bit into the new rebrand.
Absolutely. So as you move along in your day and as you're growing your business, a lot of people ask us to say yes to something. How do you decide what to say yes or no to? Because you can't say yes to everyone.
Yes. For me, it is Yeah, I've gotten, it's more of like an instinctive thing. I have this check, little check I do with myself, which I say, like, you know, is this really important? And I try to like almost like tune into my body and really listen and intuitively to that. And I find for me that's helped the most is just when I take that little pause. Because other times if I'm just going from the mind and my days can be so busy that I just might like react or accept and get excited and carried away. So I just learning to pause a bit for me has helped me to make like a better decision.
Yeah.
And if it's just a couple minutes before I reply.
That's great. If you could give advice to the 18-year-old version of yourself, what would you tell her?
Be patient and you don't have to have it all figured out. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just take the next step.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What's the most influential book or the most influential mentor you've ever encountered?
I have started working with, I guess, business coach, Christopher Flett, and I'd say he's been really influential, in my like recent journey. Like we've only been working together for a few months, but I like his style. Like he's very out of the box. And I think that's what I have envisioned is I haven't really seen what I like envision myself doing in the market yet. So I like kind of working with people or having a mentor of someone that's kind of carved their business like a bit differently and out of the box.
Yeah.
That's the journey that I see for myself.
Awesome. And as we wind down, who inspires and motivates you? It's the question I ask everyone.
I would say my children do. I have two children.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
awesome. And I want to give you an opportunity to plug your website or where we can find you as we wind down.
Yes. So you can find me at sasuconsulting.com, sasuconsulting.com.
Fantastic. Kyla, thank you for being here. This was a lot of fun. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Brian. It was great to be here. Bye-bye.
You bet. And thanks to all of you for listening. This has been Success Profiles Radio. Please join us every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, where I interview another world-class achiever and learn what they did and what they overcame. See you next week.
Thank you for being a part of Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. We'll have guests that will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, BrianKWright.com. If you've ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living, then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join us again next week for more Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright.